with the worldwide head pastor, our brother Carlos Roberto Baena. We will be doing the introduction for our beloved sister Maria Luisa, and it is a great blessing to have her in the midst of us, and may God bless Central America and this beautiful country, Costa Rica.
That's right, Brother Andres, our Brother Andres Carrillo, International Supervisor of the Church. Between the two of us are going to make this introduction. We greet you with all our hearts. There was a brother who, a few days ago, had a dream before we came here today to this gathering. And he had a dream where he saw that he was walking in Costa Rica, and he saw many buildings that were very beautiful. And in fact, he saw a building that belonged to a worldwide organization, and that it was an extremely beautiful architectural piece of work. But he said, no, I must continue my way because this pales in comparison to where I'm going. And he continued walking along, and at the end of the path, it was here, the Bible study. Glory to the name of the Lord. There is nothing that can compare with this blessing of being here, gathered before the living God, with our sister Maria Luisa, the chosen one of the Lord, the anointed of the Lord, and with people who are full of love for God, like you all. Glory to the Lord. Let us pray to the Most High, and let us dedicate this gathering to our Lord, this glorious moment.
Blessed Father, Heavenly Lord, you, O God, are the greatest, most precious, most beautiful being that exists. Today, O God, we are congregating in this place, O Lord. And as long as we are in this place, we ask that you fill it with your presence. Fill it with your mercy, with your manifestation, your power, because you are merciful, great, mighty. And all of us, O Lord, all of us who are here, may we all feel your presence. Many with just our sister walking in have already began to cry and ask, why am I crying? But we all know that you are walking in to be with all of us. And today we want to dedicate the service to you, which is by you and for you, O Lord, so that you, in your infinite mercy, we may all leave delivered, blessed, and that there may be wonders and miracles here today. And great transformation of the hearts, of the thoughts, all with a purpose. The purpose of glorifying you, of loving you, of valuing. This is the opportunity that we have to attain eternal life. That's why, oh God, we want to give you this moment.
Yes, Lord, and to know we are going to live today what the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 14, Lord. The Bible there states that when the Apostle Paul went to the churches, he said that he was not going to just going to come in speaking in tongues, but that he's going to come before the churches with revelations. And this is what we're going to live here today, Lord, because our sister Maria Luisa has come with revelations to Costa Rica and Central America. Glory to the Lord. And also, Lord, our sister has come as the Apostle Paul, Lord, taught. He has come with the doctrine, blessed is the name of the Lord. And our sister has also come with knowledge, hallelujah. Our sister has come here today with the power of God and the support of the Most High, with the calling of the Almighty God, so that the people of God and all the nations may be blessed, and may the Lord be moved by everything he promised since the beginning when he separated her for his service. Hallelujah! Glory to God! How proud we are! We love you! We feel proud of the church! We feel proud of you! Thank you, Lord! Because we are nothing. We do nothing for you to live and enjoy the things you allow us to live. Greatest Lord in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, may the glory and the honor and praise for the living God, for the invisible God, but the God we see in his wonders every day of our lives. Glory to the Lord.
the glory be to our God. And if we look at this verse, when our brother Carlos Roberto Baena was praying, let us go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. Something beautiful that we lived yesterday with all the pastors. And we want you to know, there was a meeting yesterday where we invited all the pastors here in Central America, from Panama, from El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua. And something beautiful happened. We are living what the Apostle Paul announced here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 6. What do you say we all read it together? On a count of three. One, two, three.
But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you? Unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching, glory to the name of the Lord. There is everything, brothers and sisters, and that's it. We live this in the church. We lived it yesterday, as our brother Andres is saying. It was amazing the way our sister Maria Luisa, for how many hours? Like 4 hours, gave a revelations as a prophetess. God took over her, the Holy Spirit failed her, and she behaved like a prophetess of the Lord. And with to each pastor, she taught what the Holy Spirit was placing on her mouth. It's like a dream, brother. It's the heaven, the same heaven, glory to the Lord. We have our sister today. She's going to teach us. When you're listening to her, many times, always, it is the Holy Spirit on her mouth speaking. That is the ministry of a prophetess. Praise it to the name of the Lord.
And glory to God. You may be seated.
And brother Andres, I just want to tell the brothers and sisters, I just have it at the tip of my tongue, and I just can't contain myself. Where is the true church of the Lord? Show me the church. Where is it? Show me the church. Wherever the church is, there must be tongues, because that's what the Apostle Paul said. Where the church is, there must be tongues. What else must there be, brother Andres?
There needs to be revelation. There needs to be prophecy.
There must be knowledge of God, because our sister Maria Luisa is a knowledgeable person of God. Sister Maria Luisa discovers, like a scientist and more than a scientist, what pleases God. And how we can receive the blessings of God. And also, she gives us, who better than her?
Every Sunday during the Bible studies, what do we receive? Doctrine. Very well, very well. And there's also something else. When we announce the things of God and we're not ashamed to say, I am from the church, God speaks to me, God exists, that is called proclaiming. Proclaiming the gospel.
That was a very beautiful revelation that the Lord gave. We're going to share with you two revelations God gave yesterday. And so that's one, which our brother Andres is saying. And we're going to sing hymns that mention that word, which is like that, to proclaim. That's the one. Proclaim the things of God. Proclaiming means to announce publicly so that it becomes known and everybody realizes, and we do not feel ashamed, as brother Andres is saying, that we are Christians, that we are in the church, happy that God speaks, that we feel proud, that we praise the Lord, and that we are the most blessed ones on this earth. Glory to God. That is to proclaim. Who among you wants to proclaim the name of the Lord? Raise your hands and see who is going to proclaim the things of the Lord. Because if we proclaim the things of the Lord and we do not feel ashamed of God, God is not going to be ashamed of us either, ever. That's important. If you do not say who you are or where you're going, one day when you pray to God, God is not going to defend you. We still have so much joy with everything that our sister taught us. But yesterday, suddenly, God, when we were telling our sister, there are brothers who were telling our sister that there is a mayor and a president. And when he was elected, he said, I thank God because he was the one who elected me mayor. And whatever I do is what God will allow me to do. Whatever I'm able to do, it is because God will allow me to manage it and achieve it. So when someone said that to Sister Maria Luisa, she said, how beautiful. He doesn't come to the church, but God is going to bless him because he is proclaiming the Lord. Imagine that beautiful word. And so, in our sister, Sister Maria Luisa, please pardon me, sister, but the gift of our sister is so beautiful that sometimes our sister says words, and sometimes she says, look them up in the dictionary, because that word, God placed it in me, and it is a profound word. So we started to look it up, all of us together, to look it up, what it meant to proclaim. And then our sister said, all brothers, sisters, all children of God must proclaim the Lord, so that people will exalt God. Glory to the name of the Lord. That is what we must do. First revelation.
And also, when we proclaim the name of God, it's because we also have a spiritual identity. And when we have that spiritual identity, we make people respect the things of God. And we don't look down. We don't feel afraid. For example, there are people who say, oh, what are they going to say if they see me walking in a church where God speaks? They're going to make fun of me. But why? If you and I are winners, we have that great blessing of God.
Now with this teaching, we must proclaim God and we must not hide. As our brother Andres just explained, we cannot hide the fact that you come to the church or that God speaks or be or walk around fearful or scared or anything like that. But rather you must speak openly about the Lord without fear and evangelize many people. And that whenever God places people in our path, we tell them our testimony. And so we must quit any shyness and fear and proclaim the Lord. That is a revelation from God. That is what God showed yesterday. He took over Sister Maria Luisa, took over her mouth and taught us that. Glory to God.
And now we're going to continue singing hymns. We're going to sing hymn 81, The Name of Jesus. And there we will find that key word that we have learned today. So let us sing this hymn for the glory and the honor of God.
There we will see the word proclaim in that hymn.
Hymn 81.
The Lord, you are beautiful and good. Glory to God. Yesterday, there was a second revelation that God gave through our Sister Maria Luisa, Brother Andres.
It's this wonderful book. Who among you have read it? Raise your hand. Well, about half of you. Maybe a little less. But yesterday, our sister Maria Luisa, or God, speaking through our sister Maria Luisa, said that we must read this book spiritually. It brings many blessings because it is going to remove a lot of doubts. Many people ask themselves how the church started. If you want to know, you must read it. You want to know that you are here today? Because here, in the very first page, it speaks of you, of the promise that God made to our beloved sister Maria Luisa, to our brother Luis Moreno, that his church will expand throughout the world. And you, today, are witnesses that it is a true fulfillment. It is all written here for all of you to read it, but not to read it as a magazine, but to read it with understanding, rejoicing in what our sister Maria Luisa feels today. Because I know what she feels when she walks in and she is received with all that love. And she must say, this is a promise that I received over 50 years ago. You and I are a promise that God made to our beloved sister Maria Luisa. And today, it is a reality. Blessed is our God. I invite you all to read it.
And that this church, it's not just another church. But this church was born from a promise to four people that were every night praying and seeking God with their hearts, seeking the spiritual things. And God promised them what we see. And here, it's very full. There's a multitude of people. But if we think about the church, it is gigantic, gigantic. And brothers and sisters, all the more in Central America, where there are so many churches from every religion, all the more here in this region of the world, you all must feel proud and know where you are, whom you follow, and proclaim to other people and teach them that here the invisible God lives, but the God who exists and manifests himself, and the God who fulfills his promises, just like he has fulfilled what our eyes see today. Brothers and sisters, anyone who reads the book experiences God will bless them. And we shouldn't read them once or twice, but several times, because this book is alive and is fulfilled. Glory to the name of the Lord.
Blessed is our God. And all the things of God are so beautiful. And God always, he has always taught us to proclaim his name. And I'm going to give you an example. If you're going to tell me if this is true or not. When we are in the teaching services, we sing hymns. We're praising God. Then we have some choruses. We enjoy a sermon. And then what happens? There's a part in which we testify that God spoke to me and God fulfilled his promise to me. We are doing what? Proclaiming. When our brother also said, when you talk to your family members and your friends and you tell them that you go to a church where God speaks, what are you doing there? Whenever you give the glory to God because he opened doors for a job, or because he healed you, or because he gave you your husband, your wife, and you give the glory to whom? To God. You're proclaiming the name of our God. Because your family members, your friends, they hear you. Because there are people who give glory to their own ego. Oh, I have this because I am like this. Oh, I am intelligent. Oh, I can do this. Oh, I this. No, we, the children of God, we give the glory always to whom? And that is the meaning of proclaiming the name of God.
And I would add just one. Brother Andres has said everything. Whenever we praise the Lord, whenever you're praising with shyness, you're not proclaiming God. When you sort of open your mouth to praise God, you're not proclaiming. But when you praise God with the happiness, without apprehension, without fear, then joy, you proclaim the name of the Lord. Glory to God. And when we sing, just like we're going to sing, we're also proclaiming the name of the Lord.
And we're going to do so. Let us stand with chorus number 60. Glory and honor are for whom? For whom? So let us sing this chorus, chorus number 60. Glory and honor are for God.
Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. Thank you. We love you. We worship you. What a blessing, huge blessing, Lord. We give you the honor. We worship you, Lord.
Church, glory and honor.
glory to God. Blessed is our God, because the glory will always be for Him. We don't give glory to men here, but to God, to the God of the Bible, a God who lives, who is spirit. Blessed is the name of the Lord. And that God is mighty. And something beautiful happens in the church. What happens?
The greatest thing the church has, Brother Andres, is that the Holy Spirit moves about in our midst, that He helps us, transforms us, and we are not alone, because the people in antiquity were alone, but we have the Holy Spirit in our midst. Glory to the Lord. And there is a very precious chorus, 173.
It is titled, "Where the Spirit of God Is." What happens? And God has brought us here to enjoy that liberty, to be able to love Him and follow Him and value Him in order to attain what? Amen. Glory to the Lord. Let us sing this chorus.
With our souls, because God is among us. Glory to the Lord.
Oh, okay. We're going to sing it a cappella.
Very well. Our sister Maria Luisa. All right. Well, imagine this. Even better.
Glory to God. Blessed is our Lord. Before we give way to our sister Maria Luisa, forgive me, but I must share this testimony. And it has to do with our sister. Our sister doesn't like us to do this, but I do want us to value this great moment. About 2 weeks ago, I received a testimony from Vienna, Austria. In that testimony, to summarize, there is a believer who came to church. This believer came because he had a car accident. He lost his kidney. They had to perform surgery. They removed a kidney. He was only left with one. And he was very sad after that. A family member invited him to church. And the promise from God was, "I'm going to give you back that organ." He received that prophecy and he said, "Well, they're going to give me back. A new kidney is going to appear." 6 months later, he got an ultrasound and he had the other kidney. Glory to God. But he heard that someone said, if God was able to do that, and he heard someone testifying and saying that they asked God for a spiritual experience, an experience with him. So he said he dedicated himself to praying, asking God, and said, God, you know what my greatest desire is? You who are the mighty God who allowed my kidney to appear out of nowhere again, I'm going to ask you for this wish. I want to live the time of our Lord Jesus Christ. I would like to be a part of those disciples. So he said that he prayed and he cried out to God. And at night, God appeared to him in a dream. And he told him, son, and why do you want to live this time? And he said, well, imagine that, Lord, to have the blessing of listening to the teaching from the lips of Christ Jesus. And the Lord said, it's not necessary. That is what Mary Lisa is there for. He also said to him, the Lord, I would like to see the wonders that our Lord Jesus Christ performed. And he said, well, that is what Mary Lisa is there for. And at the end he said, Lord, but truly, truly, what I want the most, what I desire the most, is for the Lord Jesus Christ to give me a hug. That was on a Saturday. That was when we were beginning the pandemic. And he said on the next day, on Sunday, our Sister Mary Luisa, during the live stream, we've all seen it, what did Sister Mary Luisa begin to do? Kisses to all the kids and a hug to all of you. And he said that all his desires were fulfilled. Blessed is the name of our God. So then, let us receive our beloved Sister Mary Luisa. May God bless you all.
A very good evening, my beloved brothers and sisters. Of all the places here in Costa Rica, Central America, the pastors, their wives, and also people who have come from other places, from other cities, I greet you all with all of my love and with the immense joy that I have in my heart, because the Lord has allowed me to come and visit you all. This visit I have scheduled from before the pandemic. We had this ready in our calendar, ready to make the trip to this place. And now we are going to delight ourselves and we are going to honor our God with our questions, with our answers, with the reading of the Bible. And this way we also honor our God. You may be seated, brothers and sisters. But before we begin our Bible study, we're going to be reading a psalm. We are going to be reading a psalm here to give the honor and the glory to our God, Psalm number 80. We are going to open up our Bibles, and I would also like to give a very warm greeting to all of the brothers and sisters who are going to see us in this video from different parts of the world. A very big greeting to you all. We love you from here in Costa Rica and San Jose, Costa Rica, Central America. Greetings to all. May God bless you. And so Psalm 80, it says, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. You who lead Joseph like a flock, you who dwell between the cherubim, shine forth, it says. Lord, shine forth. These words are given by the Holy Spirit in the mouths of the singers of Israel. The Holy Spirit speaking through the mouths of those people. And what words that we ought to memorize to tell our God in our prayers. When we are praying or praising God, to tell him, Lord, you are our shepherd. You shepherd me like a sheep. you shepherd me. You who are there sitting in your throne, in the midst of the cherubim, shine forth, my Lord, manifest yourself in my life. Teach me, correct me, guide me. That is how our praise should be. That is how our prayer should be before our Lord. And if we say these words this way, then God listens to us. And God immediately begins to act in our lives. Verse number 2 says, "Before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh, stir up your strength and come and save us." It was as if the tribes of Israel were crying out to God for salvation. Verse 3 says, "Restore us, O God. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved." Here, the remnant speaking. That remnant that the Lord had chosen from antiquity. There was his people of Israel, but God had chosen a remnant whom God would be protecting and keeping so that through it, the Lord Jesus Christ would come, so that the Messiah or Savior would come. And that is why this remnant speaks to God. That is why these psalms are prophecies given through the mouths of those singers. But it was God being a spokesperson of himself, of the remnant itself, and also for us today, because we also come from that remnant that God kept at that time. And so here, God is speaking, and he's a spokesperson speaking for us. Glory to God. These are the mysteries that God has to help us and to bless us. Verse 4, "O Lord God of hosts, how long will you be angry against the prayer of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears and given them tears to drink in great measure. You have made us a strife to our neighbors, and our enemies laugh among themselves." The remnant is speaking here, the believers of the Lord, those who were persecuted and will continue to be persecuted until the end, until the day that the Lord comes in the clouds to take his church. The children of the Lord will be persecuted. Who is going to persecute them? Well, the enemy that we have. But since we also have the Lord, he keeps us and protects us. And that is the continuous fight, and that is the battle that we daily have with the enemy. And that is why every time that we read these psalms, we also here are there included in these psalms as well, because the remnant speaks to God, and we are also the remnant, the believers in Christ Jesus. Verse 6, "You have made us a strife." I already read it. Verse 7, "Restore us, O God of hosts, cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. You have brought a vine out of Egypt. You have cast out the nations and planted it." When it says, "You have brought a vine out of Egypt," he is referring to when the Lord took the people of Israel out of Egypt through Moses. And it says, "You prepared room for it," for that vine, "and caused it to take deep root, and it filled the land. The hills were covered with its shadow, and the mighty cedars with its boughs. She sent out her boughs to the sea and her branches to the river." In verse 12, he asks, "Why have you broken down her hedges so that all who pass by the way pluck her fruit? The boar out of the woods uproots it, and the wild beast of the field devours it." It is saying, Lord, they are looking down upon your word. Why is there disparages against your word, against your sayings, and against those followers of yours that proclaim the Lord, and those who do not believe, those who are unbelievers, the enemies that the devil places to harm? They are against that word that is preached, that is taught. At that time, it happened when in the beginning of the preaching of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, he had his enemies, his persecutors, that were criticizing and slandering and disparaging the Lord and putting down the word, the doctrine that has been taught. And that is why he says, Lord, why do you allow for the boar to come and destroy what you are doing? Like when the Lord Jesus Christ preached and spoke and told his disciples, be very careful. Do not cast pearls to the swine because they break it into pieces. So those people, those unbelievers who say they do not believe in God, they do not want to accept the word of God, the Bible. They do not want to believe in the work that God exists, in the wonderful work of our Lord. There is no God. Because science is advanced, because technology prevails today and shines in the world. And so people forget about God, and the enemies come up of those who preach, those who teach the word of God. They begin to manifest themselves and to look down upon those treasures that God has for human beings. That is the complaint that the remnant is giving the Lord. Why does the Lord allow these things? Yet we also live all of these things. And we could also say to our Lord the same, Lord, look, they are mocking. They look down upon us. They put down your truth. People say that it's a lie, that you do not exist. We live all of this. People have lived this centuries ago. And today we still live this. We also, but we have something with us, which is the help, the shield, the protection, the rock in which we find refuge in, the Holy Spirit, our God who is supporting us. The Lord is there telling us, press on. Press on and don't worry. Don't pay attention to what this wild boar does, what this wild beast devours. Don't worry about this because I am with you. And I'm going to keep you and I'm going to bless you and I'm going to protect you. Press on. That is what the Lord says to us. Glory to his name. Return, we beseech you, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and see and visit this vine. And it was so. God visited that vine, he sent the Lord, and the vineyard which your right hand has planted, and the branch that you made strong for yourself. It is burned with fire, it is cut down, they perish at the rebuke of your countenance. Let your hand be upon the man of your right hand, upon the son of man whom you made strong for yourself. Then we will not turn back from you. Revive us, and we will call upon your name. Restore us, O Lord. Let's all read verse 19 together. Restore us, O Lord, God of hosts. Cause your face to shine, and we shall be saved. Glorified is our God. We will be saved. Why? Because we are going to remain until the end of our days in this wonderful path that God has paved for us. I hope that some of you may not lose that enthusiasm. Do not lose that happiness, that trust that you have placed upon God, that hope that you have deposited in the Lord. Do not ever lose it. Press on. Continue till the end, which is the goal that God has given all of us. But before that, work for him and serve the Lord. Bear fruit. Seek perfection. Seek the spiritual gifts. Seek to have a fellowship with God every day of your life, that God may listen to your prayer, that God may hear you and see your need, that he may see your sorrow, that he may see your sadness, or that he may see your happiness, that God may always be with you. Try every day to make an effort to please God. Read the Bible always so that you may learn the path that you ought to take, the path that you ought to follow. Do not stray, do not divert, but press on and continue steadfastly and control your emotions, control your nervousness, your worries, control all of that and let yourself be led by God. Let yourself be guided by God because God will cleanse you. He will heal you. He will give you peace and happiness. Trust in Him, believe in Him, and love God with all of your heart. Learn to pray. Memorize many verses in Psalms so that you may learn how to pray to God. Do not worry about everyone else's lives. Don't worry about the people who are near you, about how they live, what they do, what they think, what they stop thinking. You continue your life. Perfect yourself. Sanctify yourself every day more because that is what God wants. And your problems and flaws and everything else that people may have, God will take it away. You just pray to God for people. If you see someone making a mistake, committing a sin, pray to God and ask God to deliver them and help them. But don't begin to criticize or to speak of or to slander or destroy or distort people's spiritual lives, to destroy someone's faith. But you just pray and ask God to have mercy of those people who are not yet in good standing with the Lord. And so that should be our lives. Each one of us, let us press on. Each one of us, let us keep watch for our spiritual lives. And let us not look any other place. Let us not look at people and people's bad testimonies, but let us give them an example and teach them to each person. And let us pray for each person. This way, God will be pleased with us, with the way in which we behave ourselves in our daily lives. Therefore, it is good for us to be steadfast, trusting in God, and that each one may strive to please God. We ought to please our God. We ought to bear fruit, and when we present ourselves before God, that we may have many fruits, so that God may receive us with open arms. The glory and the honors for our God, and we give thanks to God for His mercy. And I know that today, the Lord has blessings. Blessings for you all. The Lord has blessings for all of you here who are present. You have blessings, those who are going to watch us there behind this camera. God has blessings for all of these countries, for all of these places. In every place, there is a soul that God loves. And therefore, God takes care of His people, of His sheep. And since He has blessings for everyone, why don't we also give Him what He deserves? And He deserves the honor. He deserves the glory. He deserves the praise. He deserves for us to always proclaim His greatness, His glory, His existence. God lives. Glory to God. He lives forever. God speaks to us. God speaks. God speaks, and I know that God is going to be delivering many hearts. He is going to be cleansing some people's mindsets that the enemy has set out to destroy. But the Lord will be working wonders and miracles. And the Lord is going to be with you. And we give thanks to our God because He has blessings for everyone. Therefore, today we are going to honor our God. We're going to praise Him. We're going to magnify Him. Let's tell the Lord. Let us sing that chorus that says, "With prayer I come." A chorus, I'm not sure of the number, 159, that says, "With prayer I come, that I love you. I come to tell you that you are the greatest." Glory to our God.
Lord.
With prayer I come, with prayer I come here before your sight. To tell you, oh Lord, to tell you, oh Lord, you're my soul's delight. With prayer I come, with prayer I come to pour out my heart. I love you, my Lord, I need you, my Lord. I burst into songs, your praises I sing. I burst into tears, I burst into tears of joy for my King. With prayer I come, with prayer I come to pour out my heart. I love you, my Lord, I need you, my Lord. Oh, never depart. I burst into songs, your praises I sing. I burst into tears, I burst into tears of joy for my King. With prayer I come, with prayer I come to pour out my heart. I love you, my Lord, I need you, my Lord. Oh, never depart.
Is the name of our God. You may be seated, beloved brothers and sisters, and now we are going to begin with our questions this afternoon.
Good afternoon, brothers and sisters. Good afternoon, Sister Maria Luisa. May God bless you. Welcome to Costa Rica. I am from the congregation in Cartago. My first question is in Psalms 4, verse 8.
Psalm 4, verse 8. You may read.
Sister, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. So, sister, what does this peace and certainty consist of? Does the Lord Jesus Christ ask the Father because he knows that we're vulnerable in our sleep? Because many of us, since we're kids, we are disturbed with nightmares.
Very well. So here, either way, in this verse, it's not necessarily talking about nightmares, right? Or dreams. Those experiences that you feel. Because the majority of people, children or any age, the enemy, the devil, always comes to bother us and persecute us and to make our dreams to not be peaceful. And he puts dreams or nightmares. The devil comes to put nightmares to try to steal my peace when I am sleeping. But the verse here, when it says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, I'm going to wake up. And when it says, my going out and coming in, God blesses them, God is there with me. He is generally speaking, saying that God blesses us. He blesses his children, his followers. The Lord is always blessing them. He is always protecting them from evil. You have reflected that dangers lay snares for us all the time. Dangers lay snares for us on the street, in our homes, wherever we are, at work, at school, wherever we are, there is danger looming around us. Death as well is circling around us. And that is why we see in the news all of those accidents and all of those killings and shootings and all of those things that we see and accidents of different kinds. And we are astonished and we say, Thank you, God, because you have protected me. Thank you, God. Accidents. We see in the news how many accidents in planes and boats and cruises and cars, bicycles, motorcycles, well, of every kind. And you hear people were just fine and there was a stray bullet. We are always surrounded by danger. Death lays snares everywhere. And if we do not walk with God, then one of those dangers may come and surprise us. But when we are walking with God, He has made us a promise that He will keep us, that He will protect us, and that He will help us. That is what God does. And so that is why in verse 8, He is saying that with God's peace, I will lie down, and with that same peace, I will wake up, and with that same peace, I will continue the entire day at work, whatever I am doing, because God is the one who keeps us and protects us. There are many testimonies of so many dangers that there have been, and God has saved His believers. He has kept them and He has protected them from those dangers and everything that has happened, those catastrophes, when there have been catastrophes. I remember, there are many, but at this moment, I remember when the Twin Towers fell in New York. There were brothers and sisters that worked in those towers. And the day that that happened, the catastrophe, the brothers and sisters woke up sick, so sick that they couldn't go to work. But it was because God kept them and protected them. He made them sick so they wouldn't go to work, and He saved their lives. This is what God does. God does this. And that is why in the psalm He says, I will both lie down in peace, and I will always dwell in safety with the Lord, because I walk with God. That is why we should walk with God. Very well.
Good afternoon, Sister Mara Luisa. May God continue to bless you greatly. Thank you so much for your teachings and for your devotion to God. I have a couple of questions from the Bible, Sister. In Ezekiel chapter 28, if you allow me, Sister, Ezekiel chapter 28 from verse 15 to 18, 17, where
Ezekiel 28 from 15
until 17.
Yes.
Where it speaks about the anointed cherub who covers, who was perfect until evil was found in him, and this is referring to the devil. Sister Mara Luisa, on verse 16, where it says, by the abundance of your trading, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. And the question, Sister, is what were those trades? And I'd like to make reference to the Bible study that you did in San Andres Island, in which you explained about the wisdom of the devil on verse number 4, where it says, with your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. And on verse 5, it says, by your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches. And your heart is lifted up because of your riches. If you could please explain, Sister. Thank you so much.
If we go back to chapter 26, there is a subtitle that says Proclamation Against Tyre, the King of Tyre. The King of Tyre, according to the story here in Ezekiel, he says that his prudence and his shrewdness, since he was king, he knew how to negotiate and make treaties, alliances, agreements with other foreign countries, and he became rich. But this king of Tyre, in the heart of King Tyre, the devil came to dwell in him. The devil entered the king, and this king of Tyre did many awful and unpleasant things before God, and he also was used to go against the people of Israel. And God, since he saw that it was the devil who had entered this king, and exactly what happened to the devil when he rebelled against God before the creation of the world, many of the same things happened to the king of Tyre that were similar. And that is why he is saying that he was understanding, and it says, with your wisdom and understanding. But who had it? The king of Tyre. Helped by whom? The devil. It was the devil who was in this person, and this person would face against the work of God or against the people of God. And when God sent the message through Ezekiel to the king of Tyre, God wasn't speaking to the man made of flesh and blood, to this king, but he was speaking to the devil. Because exactly what happened to the devil in the beginning was the same thing that the king of Tyre was going through. And that is why he mentions trades, because there was business that he was making, he acquired, because he had a lot of wisdom and talent. And here in the Bible, it says that when he was in Eden, when God made him, he says he made him perfect. And he made him in such a way that he wanted to be equal to God. But either way, when the devil was cast down to earth with his army, with the millions of angels, followers of the devil, and so what the devil did was enter into human beings' hearts. He dwells in human beings. That is what the devil did. And to this day, he does it. He enters and possesses human beings, and he dwells in them so that they may do evil things. For example, governments in different countries. In some countries, some rulers, they are possessed by the devil himself, by the demons or spirits themselves. And those spirits move them to do awful things so that people may suffer. That is what happens. From that time, all of these things have happened. And that is what happened with the king of Tyre. The devil possessed him, and God sent the king of Tyre this message. But it was a message for the devil. And that is why here in chapter 28, when the brother says from verse 15 of Ezekiel 28, when he said, "You were perfect in your ways." If he is saying this to the devil, then yes, God created the devil as a perfect angel. From the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. But if we're going to talk about the king of Tyre, then it was the same. The king of Tyre was also the same. When he began his reign, he surely did good things and he proceeded well. But then it says that he began to do evil, all for greed, and he became greatly rich. And so it says that because of the abundance of trading that he did, he was filled with violence and sinned. So that was done by the devil, and it was also done by the king of Tyre. That king of Tyre, that is why the Lord Jesus mentions Tyre. He says those of Tyre and Sidon one day will be criticizing the Jewish people for not having believed in Jesus Christ, whereas they heard the gospel preached to them and they believed it. The Lord mentions this. And so we want to highlight, well, brother, I'm not sure if you have a specific question, because here it is the devil whom God is talking to. But it also happens to be the king who is doing the same things that happened to the devil. And that's the message that God sends to Ezekiel for him, for the devil, saying, you harm and you do so much evil that you enter in someone's life and you make that person do what is evil before me. And that is what God always told the devil as well.
Amen, sister. Very clear. Thank you so much.
Very well. Let us continue.
I have another question, yes, sister. It is in John chapter 3, verse 34. John chapter 3 verse 34, where it says...
Yes.
Can I read, sister? Thank you.
3:34.
For he whom God has sent speaks the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. And the question is there, sister. What does it mean when it says, for God does not give the Spirit by measure? Thank you so much, sister, for your answer. May God bless you.
Thank you, brother. He who comes, I'm reading in verse 31. It says, he who comes from above is above all. In other words, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, it is referring to him. He who is of the earth, in other words, us human beings, is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all, the Lord. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He was saying that he came from heaven, and he was speaking and testifying about eternal life, about the true gospel that was beginning, about that plan of salvation that God had for humankind, but that no one wanted to receive or accept or believe in that testimony, in those words that he was teaching. And it says, he who has received his testimony, in other words, he who believes the Lord, or who believed, he has certified that God is true, just as what happens to us today. We say it's true that God exists because we have lived experiences with him, because we feel him, because we see the miracles, the wonders that he has done, because I have seen a change of life that God has done in our lives. He has changed me, transformed me. I'm happy. I have peace. And God lives. I believe the Lord Jesus Christ in the message that he preached. I believe him. And that is what it says. He who believes and receives his testimony in verse 33, he has certified that God is true. Glory to God. That happens to us. It says, for he whom God has sent, which is the Lord Jesus, speaks the words of God. So he is saying that God speaks all of the words of God. For God does not give the Spirit by measure. In other words, a small piece. No, he sent the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to earth to preach and to speak. And he only allowed him just a small part, a word, and didn't allow him to speak more. No, he said that the Lord was not going to give the Spirit by measure, but he gave him the fullness. Because it says that the Lord Jesus Christ had the fullness of the Spirit of God. He was filled. And he did not receive by measure because God wasn't going to give him by measure, saying, I'm going to give you 2 pounds, or I'll give you 4 pounds of my Spirit and that's it. He gave him the fullness. That is what the Lord there was explaining to them, that God was not going to give the Spirit by measure, but the fullness of what he saw and what he heard of the Father. That is what he was teaching them, teaching human beings. And so up to that, it says, the Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand. I hope that we have understood this verse well when it says that the Spirit was not given by measure, referring to our Lord Jesus Christ. He was full. Let us continue. Another question, yes?
Good afternoon, Sister Mara Luisa.
Good afternoon.
May our Almighty God bless you, protect you, and always
thank
keep you.
You
safe. For me, it is of great joy and happiness for you to be here with us today in San Jose, Costa Rica, sharing with us this beautiful teaching and doctrine and understanding that we need so much for our daily life.
Exactly.
My question, sister, is focused in Romans chapter 1, verse 18.
Romans chapter 1, yes?
Verse 18.
Yes, brother, yes.
For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Sister, I understand that by principle and through the doctrine, the truth, this is corresponding to the gospel and the preaching of the true word and doctrine of the Lord. But I'd like for you to expand, sister, on how or in which way or what measure or what is the limit that men have to be able to have the truth of God in all righteousness. May God bless you.
Verse 18. For the wrath, well, here in verse 17 or 16, the Apostle Paul is highlighting the gospel of the Lord. And he says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the rest." It says here, and also for the Greek, but it was just a way of saying, after the Jews, then it was the rest of the nations. Whoever believes in the Lord, and he says that that salvation God had sent for all human beings, for all humankind he had sent it. And he says, for in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith. In other words, preaching the Messiah, the Savior Jesus. To faith, in other words, when people already believe in the Lord and follow his path, then people begin to have that faith there, steadfast, because they are following the path of the Lord. And it says, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, which means the righteous by their faith, or for believing in Jesus Christ as God, as the Son of God, will have eternal life. That is what it means. The just shall live by faith. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, the truth of God, because Jesus Christ appeared on earth preaching the gospel and preaching the plan of salvation, preaching that God wants to save humankind. And they did not believe him. They did not believe the Lord. They rebelled, and instead, it says they killed him. And so here, ahead in verse 18, the apostle begins to list or to tell about that unrighteousness, about that ungodliness of human beings since Adam. Since Adam, human beings began to sin, to turn away from God's path, to offend God, and to be unrighteous, doing things that are wrong and disobeying the divine order, his law, his commandments. And that is why it says that that plan of salvation that God wanted for all, the Lord Jesus Christ presents himself and says, I am going to work for that plan to convince many to believe and to trust so that they may have their salvation, their eternal life, and that the verse may be fulfilled in Habakkuk 2:4 that says, but the just shall live by his faith. But the just, when the gospel is preached to them, will believe in Jesus Christ, and then they will live eternally for God. But unrighteousness of men, he begins to list all that humans did from Adam, all of their sins, all of the things they committed in this chapter. It would be great if you all read it after. Everything that humankind did since Adam, that is why the Lord was here angry against humankind. But the Lord Jesus Christ was the intermediary. He intervened. And he put himself in the middle, saying to the Father, do not punish humankind. Do not destroy them. Allow me. I will be able to rescue many. I will rescue many. That is what the Lord is doing, and what he is doing today with us. Glory to his name. Therefore, we give thanks to God for this. Very well, let us continue.
Sister Maria Luisa, receive a big hug from all the brothers and sisters in Costa Rica. My question, if I may, is in regards to the concept of being profane and profaning the Word of God. My question is in regards to being profane and despising the Word of God, and also about the consequences that that brings forth to our lives. God had said, blessed is the birthright. And Esau profaned the word of God because he said that that birthright was a curse. And he sold it for a plate of food. And although he cried afterwards in order to get that blessing back, he prayed and repented, God no longer heard his pleas. And sister, today, God makes us promises. He tells us, I'm going to give you a blessing, whether it be in regards to our jobs, whether it be our love life or spiritual life, and God fulfills them. And upon receiving those blessings, we begin to complain. And in what way are we profaning the word of God in doing as such? And up to what extent do these words that we say in cursing this, does God allow for them to be fulfilled in our lives for our own punishment?
Very well. We today defile as well the word of God with sin, with disobedience in that way. In the example that was read with Esau, he looked down upon his birthright because God had said that the firstborn of each family would be blessed and he would be the one to take the inheritance, and that it was a great blessing for the firstborn. And Esau, being the firstborn, it says that he looked down upon his birthright. In other words, he put down the word of God, looking down upon it, and said, how is this useful for me? I'm going to sell it. And he said that he negotiated with his brother Jacob, and he gave his birthright to him. And by looking down on it, he put down the word of God. And as these things happened, he committed a sin. And that sin is called to defile. He defiled the word of God. God had said, the birthright is a blessing. And Esau said, the birthright is a curse. And that is how he defiled the word of God. And today with sin, we also can defile the word of God when he has spoken to us and he has made us promises. He has fulfilled things in us and we follow a path. And after we turn back and we go back and we go back to sin, and then we are defiling the word of God, putting down his word, his promises, the plan that he had with us. This way, then defilement comes. May God protect us from these things. My beloved brothers and sisters, thank you very much. May my God bless you all. That God, I know that you, when you get home in these days, you're going to see the blessings that God gave you. You are going to enjoy of all of that which you wished in your heart, those petitions. And God is going to give you, God has given you, and the happiness that he's going to allow you to enjoy in the Lord. You will be experiencing that you have been delivered from witchcraft, from sorcery, from curses. And you are going to receive the Holy Spirit, the spiritual gifts. You are going to have experiences with God, and you're going to serve God with all of your heart. The church is going to be greatly blessed in this place and its surroundings. Therefore, the Lord has poured many things, showers of blessings for all. Let us pray to our God. And in our prayer, we are going to ask for our petitions and needs, although from beforehand, God has already given them. But now you are going to say this to the Lord. Everything that you need. We are also going to pray for those who are sick. We are going to pray for the people who believe they suffer from witchcraft and sorcery. Although the Lord has delivered, he wants to hear from your mouth that you may speak to the Lord and remind the Lord that you suffer from this or that need. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Holy Father, Everlasting Father, Creator of the heavens and the earth, our God, our Lord, who created the heavens and earth and you made us with your powerful hand. Everlasting God, you have seen us before we were born. You have chosen us. You have called us. And you have put us in this place before you. We are before your presence, Lord. We want to obey you. We want to love you. We want to glorify you and honor you. We want to do your will. We do not want to be stubborn like the people in antiquity, but we want to be your children, that you may be proud of all of us. Because we want to honor you and to praise you with all of our heart, with all of our soul. We want to follow your steps, Lord. We want to imitate you, Lord, to press on, triumph in our spiritual lives, because we want to please you in everything, in every step that we take in life. Lord, you will remove all of our suffering. You will remove our spiritual bonds. You will remove all the snares of the wicked one. And all of those bonds that the devil has placed in some, the chains, will be broken. The ties will be loosened. Evil will be destroyed. In all people, in many evil works, many have been victims of it. Lord, the envy of the devil, the envy of the enemy against many. You, Lord, are delivering, cleansing, and breaking chains and bonds. You are giving showers of blessings. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, because you are seeing the hearts of each person, their petitions, their wishes, their desires, that they may be fulfilled, that you may bless them. Extend your hand. Place your almighty hand upon each person's head, that you may comfort them, deliver them, and bless them, that you may give them happiness and peace, deliverance, that you may break that yoke of bondage of the enemy, that the enemy has had many in bondage, but you are delivering and breaking chains. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy and your love. Thank you for your word, for your glorious promises, blessed Lord. Holy Father, in the glorious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, I ask that you extend your mighty hand, that you bless each person, that you may cleanse, and that happiness and joy may reign in their hearts in every life, and that suffering may be removed, that sadness may be removed, that depression may be removed. Remove bitterness, that you may be the one delivering and removing confusion, making each heart and life happy and cleansing them. Remove doubt, remove unbelief, Lord. Remove in the midst of this doubt or this unbelief, and manifest yourself in each person. Help them to solve their problems, Holy Father. Help them in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Bless all of the brothers and sisters here in San Jose, Costa Rica, all who have come in Central America, that it may be your blessing and your word, just as you have spoken it, that you may have mercy upon everyone, that you may help to find solutions and resolve many problems. Remove conflicts, Lord, that people may know you, that the world may know you, that people may know that you exist, and that you are a great God of power, of love and mercy. Thank you, my Father, in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Blessed and praised is your name. Chorus 169.
Y muy digno de ser alabado en la ciudad de nuestro Dios, en su monte santo, hermosa provincia, es el gozo de toda la tierra, es el monte. es el monte de Sion, a los lados del norte la ciudad del gran rey. Grande es Jehová y muy digno de ser alabado en la ciudad de nuestro Dios, en su monte santo, hermosa provincia, es el gozo de toda la tierra, es el monte de Sion, a los lados del norte la ciudad del gran rey, es el monte de Sion, a los lados del norte la ciudad del gran rey.
Glory and honor to our God. Thank you very much. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Thank you very much. Thank you all, brothers and sisters. And until next time, may God bless you. And thanks be to the Lord for everything that you are going to receive, or you've already received those benefits from our God. Thank you very much. See you soon. May my God bless you all as well. Thank you.